Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the live broadcast of Between the Ropes. I am Brian Fritz and joined by Michael Wiseman, as always, here for our regular Tuesday broadcast. Thanks for joining us here on the Google Hangout. We hope that everybody checks out BetweenTheRopes.com. Go there. You can find out more stuff that we do over there, all of our different podcasts and everything. Plus, while you're here on YouTube watching the Google Hangout, how about you do this? Subscribe to us. It's just one little click of the button. That's all it is. Just subscribe to us. Also, please feel free to share the video, like our videos, and also feel free to make comments as well. You cannot ask a question in the middle of the podcast or the broadcast today because we do not have the Q&A set up. However, we do have the chat room set up. That is right there on the YouTube page. So if you have a question, comment, anything like that, feel free to ask it there. And Michael's going to be watching that very closely as always, and we'll feel free to chime in and show your questions here. And then also, while you go to BetweenTheRopes.com, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, or both if you like, but feel free to subscribe to us and please rate us and review us there as well. You get all the different podcasts that we do. We also put this up in podcast form, but some of the other videos that we do, we don't put in podcast, and some of the podcasts we do, we don't have in videos. So if you want to get everything, you got to subscribe to everything. So,
and if you're not watching us, you're missing out on a couple of cool things. First off, every time Brian Fritz says my name at the beginning of a show, I do this number. You know, because I'm a cool guy. Secondly, you don't get to see this nice, delicious, juicy beverage I'm partaking in while I do the show.
Anybody want to take a guess on what alcoholic beverage Michael is taking part of?
It's just water. It's just water in a brown glass.
That's not true. That's like saying you're only wearing a pair of headphones right now when you're actually wearing a gamer headset.
And listen, it's a pair of headphones, man. Just ignore the little Xbox Live chat thing. You know, look like I'm ready to be gamer dude. Yeah, let's do this. No. So
are you testing out 2K16 already over there, Stone Cold Mode?
And they're, and just for the record, they're talking about 2K16 and the exclusive Stone Cold Attitude Era mode. There is not the rumored WrestleMania 32 Stone Cold Steve Austin Brock Lesnar exclusive match in the game yet. But I did want to say, if you are chatting with us, we welcome it. We appreciate it. We're not trying to screw around with you guys. We're testing out different methods of communication here in the podcast. We did the Q&A, gets a little bit of a response. This week, we're bringing back the chat room, working out the bugs. We're seeing what works best for you. So, you know, enjoy it.
We'll get into Raw here in just a minute, but you mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 32. I don't like to start off on bad news or breaking hearts or anything, but after we teased it so much, we talked about it following Austin going on his own podcast with Paul Heyman and it getting brought up and us saying, hey, you know what? It wasn't just by chance. There has to be something to it. Austin went into promo mode and you know what? He even mentioned a scenario that might intrigue him when it comes to being a Texas death match and everything. So, you know, it was still kind of, you know, up in the air, but felt good about it, right? Felt better than you had in a while about that match. That was until Stone Cold went on his family-friendly podcast and said, oh, hell no, I'm not doing it. Or basically, he didn't close the door on it, but he really shot down all the talk about that match happening. And he basically apologized to everybody saying, hey, I didn't mean to get your hopes up. Here's what he said. Quote, at WrestleMania 32, I don't believe you're going to be seeing Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same ring. It wasn't my intention to book the territory or to spin a match or to sell a match. So I just wanted to make that clear to everybody. And basically he said that Paul Heyman popped that up on him and he wasn't sure how to respond. So he went into Stone Cold Steve Austin promo mode and that's what came out. So he's sorry for getting your hopes up, everybody. Sorry, kids. You wanted to see Stone Cold, your buddy, your pal, come back one more time at WrestleMania, blow the roof off of AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, his home state, in front of a record crowd of 100,000 fans. Well, that ain't happening. Sorry.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is a piece of garbage. Piece of garbage. I mean, what else do you call somebody who literally takes my heart, yanks it out of my chest, throws it on the ground, stomps the mud holes in it, and then gives me two
not
middle
even
fingers.
Just a mud holes in it, as you
mud
said.
Hole. He stomps a mud holes. Like I don't know how you do that, but
he stomped a mud hole walking dry.
I'm just saying this is the most disappointing thing that has happened to wrestling since TNA went to Monday nights.
Did he beat you like a government mule?
Yeah, he beat my emotions. Yes. My emotions like a government
mule. Are you trapped in a glass case of emotions right now?
Yeah, and he shattered it and
shattered dreams. Oh wait. Oh, that's taken.
This is getting a little bit too meta, I think. It is disappointing, I think. And as a diehard Stone Cold fan, he is possibly my favorite of all time. I just can't help but think that there's a missed opportunity here. And I hope this is him playing the audience a little bit and trying to, we'll say build this up a little bit more and not give it away so soon and kind of tease it out a little bit.
Let's hope so.
Maybe you think so?
I don't know. Maybe you should take a little bit of your beer poured out, for the depth of that match a little bit.
Right. I don't want to waste it, though. This was a little pricier than your cheap beers. Your cheap.
Oh, really? What is that you're drinking?
Oh, this is the New Belgium Somersault. If you are a New Belgium fan, they bring back one of their specialty summer beers every year. And this year, they're bringing back their summer seasonal. I'm a big New Belgium fan. Fat Tire is my favorite beer.
Of course, in the can.
Fat Tire. Yeah, you know me, Fritzy. You get me, man. Somersault, though, in the bottle, pretty good. I got like the 24 pack, whatever it was, the big thing.
That's it. You're curving yourself. I don't need a 48 pack, but 24 pack.
Kind of keeps a beer fridge stocked over here, man. That back there, that's my beer fridge, and it's got lots of beer in it, so I'm stocked all the time.
Did before I go off on too far of a tangent, you're talking about your little fridge over there. Did you see or did anybody else out there? If you went to my Facebook page, by the way, it's facebook.com/Brian Fritz, real tough. And you can see my name right there. If you go on there, just so last week, I put a link to an item that I wouldn't mind having, and that would be a nice little fridge like that. But it's got Han Solo in carbonite as the front door.
Nice. I saw that. That's a little bit almost too nerdy for my stuff. I just got a couple of Spider-Man magnets, a Superman magnet on there, something like that.
Too nerdy for the guy that's talking with the Spider-Man poster blown up in the background.
Yeah. And with the Xbox Live headset on. I have my
absolutely. And what's sitting on the top of your TV right there too?
There's a Chick-fil-A cow.
And, let's break it down. What's that right there?
The stuffed zombie. Yeah, this is
So this is what happened. And I see is that a Nintendo?
It's a Wii. I got a Wii
back there.
It's not nerdy though, but I do gotta say. So
it is a Wii.
I got a message of my editor at Camel City Dispatch sent me a text Friday night or Saturday morning, and he said, "Yeah, we were being nerdy last night, and we went to go play a frisbee golf or what a disc golf, whatever the one with the frisbees,
froth."
He said, "Me and my wife were being nerdy. We went to do that last night." I said, "You were being nerdy." I said, "I spent 3 hours playing Minecraft last night." So, yeah, I've been nerding it up pretty hardcore over the last week. Let's just leave it at that.
3 hours playing Minecraft, huh?
Friday night, man. What else you do? I sit in here. I got the beer fridge. Got the TV. I mean, it's perfect. I just sit right there.
Yeah.
Drink my beer. Play some Minecraft. What else you do?
I've been watching a lot of sports because my Cubs are doing pretty well. And then we've got the NHL Stanley Cup final right now. You got the NBA finals going on as well. So, in fact, I will admit to this. I did not watch Raw live last night.
What?
I had to watch the Blackhawks and the Lightning play, and freaking Blackhawks let that game go, and the Lightning pulled it out to take a 2-1 series lead in Chicago. It was heartbreaking.
That sounds terrible. Oh, my God. It's awful.
Come on, man.
Whoa. Woo.
Man, I was so excited. Chicago took the lead at one point, and I was like, yeah, man, here they go. They got the lead. They were down 1-0, took a 2-1 lead, and I was like, here we go. Just got to hold on for the rest of the period. 14 seconds later, Tampa Bay scored. 14 seconds!
I know nothing about what's going on in the world of hockey right now. Other than that, it's led to beef between CM Punk and Hulk Hogan, which I just find hilarious. I find that hilarious.
Well, you know how it all got started, right?
No.
Okay, so I'm not – I think that I will admit that I think that Hulk Hogan is, in fact, a Lightning fan because he is from Tampa Bay. But he's not a guy that follows the team on a regular basis, like on a day-to-day basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he did a couple of interviews. He did one before the series with ESPN where he said he thought Chicago was in a lot of trouble. And then before game one on NBCSN, he was part of their studio pregame outside of the stadium in Tampa Bay. And the announcers asked him, what about CM Punk? You know, he's a big Blackhawks fan. And of course, you know, Hogan had went after him a little bit there. And plus on top of that, and some other things as well, Hogan called the Tampa Bay coach by the wrong name. He called him John Connor, and his name is John Cooper.
Was that like a sly reference to the new Terminator movie? Is that
I don't know if him and Arnold are into it, but anyway, Hogan said what he did. So the series was tied at 1-1 and went to game three, which is Monday night. And CM Punk, who's a major Blackhawks fan, lives in Chicago, loves Chicago sports, but especially when the Blackhawks, that's his favorite team. He was there at the game wearing his Blackhawks jersey, and CSN Chicago got him for a pregame segment with fans. And he cut a promo on Hogan and Tampa Bay fans. He went after Hogan, said the less said about Hogan, the better. But he mentioned my name, so I'll call him out. And he said that the whole Tampa Bay organization should be embarrassed for hitching their rides to him. And he called him a piece of garbage. He pointed out the whole issue with Hogan calling the coach by the wrong name and said, we're in Chicago. We're real hockey fans. So he went after Hogan. Well, Tampa Bay won. So they took a 2-1 series lead, right? So Hogan went on Twitter and said, like I said, they're in a whole lot of trouble and they should take their punk and go home. CM can show them the way, brother. So of course, Punk was not going to stand for that. And he said, you mispronounced the team captain's name and didn't even know the coach's name. You're a hack. Shut the bleep up or I'll wreck you, Hulk Hogan.
Nice. This is great build to WrestleMania 32. I'm loving it.
I don't know if they can have a match. I don't know if WWE wants him back. I don't think CM Punk wants to come back. And I don't know if Hulk Hogan can be cleared to get in the ring for WrestleMania.
Yeah, they just got to put the little wheelchair ramp up there, and he'll be perfect. Wow. Walker ramp.
Him and Rusev, right? Wheelchair race, woo! Yeah,
so. I just want to say, we were talking to Sergeant Slaughter. What was it? I think we've shared the story before. But when Rusev's entrance, he had his Russian tank or whatever, and John Cena did his American patriotic, you know, soldier thing. We talked to Sergeant Slaughter and asked him.
He's making his way around the media section at the stadium there for WrestleMania.
Uh-huh. And we said, why aren't you out there, Sarge? And he said, I would be if I could.
Yep.
There you go.
Wasn't in the booking.
Right.
At least we got him because Bob Backlund was on the other side of the media.
Oh.
That's a whole another story right there.
Yeah. For those of you who think being in the media is glamorous, we got to talk to either Bob Backlund or Sergeant Slaughter, which no offense to either man, both are legends, but yeah, that's who you got the pick from.
If Maria Menounos had been with Bob Backlund,
uh-huh,
I would have taken that side.
Okay? Sure. That's a whole different ballgame now we're talking about.
That's 2 years in a row, though, that Sarge has come around to the media section during Mania.
Do they pay him for that? Or is he just like, I love these guys?
He's an ambassador. He's there. He doesn't mind doing it. He's got to do something, you know.
He sided with the Iraqis in the war, remember? I remember this.
He switched back.
Ugh.
It's okay.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of oil, so he doesn't need to be a sympathizer.
He's a G.I. Joe, you know.
Sure.
Legit, like in the comics, they wrote him in.
I know he is.
But, I mean, that's just crazy to me. Like, they took a wrestling guy and wrote him in to the G.I. Joe, and they had toys. And,
yeah.
And then he turned to be an Iraqi sympathizer.
As we all know, knowing is half the battle, okay?
No, you're just, okay. Yeah.
Where's Destro?
Are you a closet G.I. Joe fan, Fritzy?
Not really. I just know a couple of the characters.
You're going to start naming like Transformers next. And the Autobots. They were the other guys, right?
Autobots. Man, how about that? I did like little Transformers. The movies are not good, but I did watch the cartoon.
Okay. Did you watch the 1988 cartoon movie?
No. I don't think I saw that one. I've seen every episode of the Flintstones, though.
86 was the year that the Flintstones. We're talking about the Transformers, the Flintstones.
I'm just thinking of cartoons I've watched.
Oh,
Ren and Stimpy, of course.
our weekly reference.
Sure. Who doesn't like Ren and Stimpy?
Did you watch any of the old, what was it, Hulk Hogan had his own cartoon. What was that thing called?
Oh, yeah, the Saturday morning thing. It's on the network now.
Yeah, what is it?
No, I did not watch it.
What, Hulk Hogan's Real American Heroes or something, right?
I don't know. You tell me, man. I want to.
Rock and wrestling. God, of course it's rock and roll. We should know that. What are we, wrestling experts or what?
I know, right?
All right.
I blame you.
I'm drinking. It's not my fault. Blame the beer.
I'll look at you every time. I'm drinking. So Punk and Hogan and going back and forth with one another. That's quite amusing, I guess. So you can tell just in the banter that there is more than just underlying tension there when it comes to Punk's side of animosity towards Hogan. That Hogan is just about, fan, blah, blah, blah. But, and he probably doesn't like the way that Hogan probably doesn't like the way Punk left the company. But,
that's part of what Josh is in our chat room pointing out, that he said, show them the way home, like take your ball and go home, Punk. Like that's
Punk has not liked Hogan for a long time. So now he's taking some jabs and mixing in his sports reference to the Hulkster. So I guess CM Punk does not have a free meal waiting for him at Hogan's beachside restaurant.
Yeah, but he's got to pay parking. It's like $15, right?
Something like that. Wasn't
valet parking, crap.
Valet parking over there, man. And we were like, you know what? We can find someplace else to eat.
Plus, I think what's, I mean, it's just to me, it's like Punk. I was a big CM Punk fan. I have two CM Punk t-shirts sitting over there through this wall in my closet. I think he is a fantastic performer and great on the mic, great in the ring. But at times, Punk just seems to want to dust up controversy and just call people out for things. And it's like, come on, dude, you've been gone for a year and a half now. And just to try to stir the pot, just to kind of create this animosity, this controversy, is not worth it. It's not about your drama or your bad beef. Get over yourself at some point. I know he's got his reasons for being mad, but have a little fun with it. But at some point, move on with your life if wrestling is truly behind you.
He loves animosity. He loves being the little guy fighting up because, you know, he's extremely talented. He's very smart, but he likes that everybody else knows it too. And he's not the only guy that's like that. There's plenty of other people that are like that. So, but he does probably take it a little bit too far and he's calmed down just a little bit sometimes. It doesn't have to be all, you know, hateful and everything. I mean, I don't know the whole story though. I don't know. Did Hulk Hogan do something specifically to him? Or a good friend of his, I don't know. But, you know, I know there's plenty of people that don't like Hogan because they felt like, why is he getting this position or why is he getting this or that? And, you know, it's, you know, affecting me as, you know, part of a trickle-down effect or whatever. So, you know, there's always going to be somebody who has a grudge against somebody else in the wrestling business, whether deservedly so or not. So that's part of the wrestling business, especially when it comes to the old guard, I think. I think that the current wrestling business, there's always going to be some shades of that. But at the same time, it's changing a little bit. Look at the landscape of NXT. I think it's very competitive, but I think everybody pulls for themselves or pulls for one another. You know, everybody is happy when somebody else gets called up. They're happy for somebody else's success. I'm not saying it doesn't happen on the main roster, but once you get to the main roster, that is a, you know what? That's great. I'm glad you're doing well, but what about me? What about me? It's a little bit more of a what about me mentality. And I understand that because you are there to try to have as much success as you can and make as much money as you can. But at the same time, though, I think that's changing just a little bit because I think you're seeing a little bit more when it comes to not only the competition and everything, but I think guys are more willing to pull for one another, or more willing to have a little bit more of a we're all in this together mentality to some extent like that. They had that a lot during the Monday Night War, but that was only because they were afraid they were going to go out of business. So I think guys are a little bit more for one another, you know, as we get older. And remember, it's not the same kind of locker room either from a standpoint of what you're doing in your off time. Guys chill out a little bit more now. I mean, they're more willing to go back to their hotel room and play video games or watch TV, watch Netflix, do stuff on social media rather than going down to the bar and getting lit up.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Monday Night Wars, and even though there was a little bit of camaraderie, especially on the WWE side or the WCW side, you still had, and you hear them talk about this all the time, there was this competition going on internally within both companies in the wrestling, but all three companies, I should say. I don't want to get the ECW hate mail coming my way, but within all three companies of this, I want to be better than him. The Rock and Stone Cold went out there every week and tried to one-up one another. Triple H and The Rock on the microphone, in the ring, and they had great chemistry, but they tried to one-up one another, and that led to new heights. But I think what's happened is, in the absence of competition from an outside party, such as WCW or even TNA to a certain extent, what this internal one-upsmanship has led to kind of territorial a pissing contest to a certain extent. And you have guys who are very protective over their spot, but I think you're right. That is changing. It's changing with the younger guys. And as NXT talents move up and as some of this culture change happens, I think it is going to change the WWE locker room. Not that there still won't be competition, but it won't be so exclusive.
There should be competition. That's what helps everybody be better. It needs to be the right kind of competition though.
Right. Right. Exactly. So
Let's get into Raw, the final show before Money in the Bank, which is coming up on Sunday. It is the third WWE special event in the last 4 weeks.
Well, and it's the fourth in the last 5 weeks if you include NXT, right? If Unstoppable.
Yeah, then. I guess, because, I mean, if you talk about the main stuff, you had Payback, and then you had Elimination Chamber, and now you've got Money in the Bank. And I really think that this is the part where they've hit the wall from a standpoint of they're trying to continue a lot of the feuds that they have going on, or at least keep a lot of the same players involved. It's just when you keep doing that, it seems like a lot of times they're not introducing anything new or fresh. And while you can keep a storyline going, so the mid-card ones are not strong already. So it just feels like you're in a state of flux. It's kind of like, you know, you're in a pile of quicksand and you can't dig yourself out. You're not sinking any further, but you're not making your way out either. You're just kind of there. That's kind of what I felt like when it came to this show. And Raw, there was nothing special about it. It was, you know, another three-hour show that felt like 3 hours. There was definitely some amusing things. There's some good parts about it. I like, obviously, the opening segment, I think, with Cena and Kevin Owens. Owens then had a fantastic match with Neville. I think that I like that they use social media with Dean Ambrose to go around town. And that's something that I think they could do more of. I thought that they should have done some quick videos like on Instagram or Vine or something like that. And that's something that with the right guy at the right time, you could do that. Cause we mentioned Punk. I mean, how many years ago did we think that when he won the WWE title and it looked like he was going to leave the company or not, that they should have had him popping up in different places and shot those videos and done stuff that was done, you know, with social media. But I mean, so I like the Ambrose stuff. I like what they're doing there. I wasn't the biggest fan of what they did in the main event match. And the whole setup for the Money in the Bank ladder match for the briefcase, to me, it didn't feel like anything special. Like that should be a big deal when that briefcase is going to be up there and somebody can win a title shot whenever they want. Because we've seen how when those guys have cashed that in, I mean, very rarely does a person not win the championship. And I just feel like there's throwing guys out there and going, yep, they're going for the briefcase. And it's not being pointed out as special. I think the world title match, it feels like it's bigger. And definitely, I think the Owens and Cena match feels like the biggest thing that's happening in Money in the Bank.
I think the fact they led with Owens versus Cena talks about where they view this on the card Sunday night. I still think it's way too soon to be re-entering this match only 2 weeks after. I mean, the dust hasn't even completely settled from what we saw 2 weeks ago in this feud. So it feels a little bit rushed, and I think there's more story you can build on that. But it does feel like at least these two matches, they're carryovers from the last pay-per-view, but Owens versus Cena, and you have Ambrose versus Rollins. It feels like these two matches are carrying this card. And of course, Money in the Bank is fun for what it is. But this has been a 2 week build of rinse, wash, repeat. You know what I mean? It's just been one of the situations where we're kind of just grinding our gears, sitting in there waiting for the next show to pop up. But I think you're right. There was some fun stuff that happened with Ambrose being around. I wish they would have shown more of it, maybe some video. I like the pictures. I favorited some of them on Instagram, but I would have liked to have seen videos of him with fans doing some crazy stuff. Really tie that aspect of social media video into this a little bit more. Maybe
they could have done drinking contests on Bourbon Street with Dean Ambrose in the middle of the day.
Oh, sure, sure. Do a live Patreon video of Dean Ambrose chugging a few. Bad brand association, I guess. But it was an okay show. It started okay. I think it started great, actually. and it ended pretty well. And the in-between stuff kind of happened.
Well, let me ask you this then. Okay, because you said it ended okay. What did you make of the whole Ambrose is his own man, doesn't need the help from J&J Security and Kane, breaks away from them, chooses to have the match with Noble Mercury, and then loses that match?
You mean, what did I think of the whole angle or?
Sure, the whole angle, but especially the match at the end of the show.
I think it was just, it was a way to say that, to me, it was setting up a Roman Reigns heel turn on Sunday. What it's setting up is this: Seth Rollins is going to be out there by himself on Sunday. He's basically eschewed anybody else that's going to be in his corner. It's going to benefit him in that match on Sunday. And so what happens? Roman Reigns comes out and turns on Dean Ambrose. To me, that's what story it was telling, because Rollins always sees situations where he's by himself. He has nobody to back him up. And somehow, it's like CM Punk back in the day, somehow he manages to pull through. And Roman Reigns is the perfect folly for that, I think.
But here's the only thing I don't like about Roman turning heel right now, okay? How are they going to explain that? Especially if they ran him through the gauntlet a week ago on Raw where he had the three matches. How are you going to explain that with the Authority? Like, if they had never done that and they had just kind of kept the tease out there, and then they, you know, the Authority said, hey, we always bank on a winner. And Rollins was talking about, you know, he didn't need us. He didn't need the help. Didn't need this. Didn't need that. So fine. You know what? We're in it to control. We're in it for whatever, you know, and we're banking on a winner. We thought that you were losing grip. Roman Reigns, he's the man. So that's why we're going with him. But I don't like the idea of Roman turning if the Authority's been going after him because of his association with Ambrose. And then now, next thing you know, he's with them. I mean, I don't like that idea. And it's funny because I'm not totally against the champion getting pinned. Okay. Even before if he's going to get pinned, I like it to happen to start a feud, not right before a title match, especially
but
on a pay-per-view.
But it was so fluky though. I mean, I guess
it was, but I don't know. There's just certain things I don't like, especially with a guy like Rollins, who I think is still, in the eyes of a lot of people, still proving I am a main event guy. And it's not just by fluke. It's not because I've had all these guys protecting me and everything. I'm a main event guy. And that's why I thought he should have won the match. I mean, he can be close to losing. You can have that good, you know, false finish, you know, here or there a couple times, but to lose the match, I thought, you know, the stuff that made sense afterwards when it came to Ambrose going after him and getting the title belt back and everything. And I know that, you know, Rollins got distracted because Ambrose comes in through the crowd. He jumps the barricade, throws the title belt into the ring. And Rollins is like, ooh, I'm going to grab my belt. And wait, I can't use belt. I'm sorry. My championship. And I got to catch myself there. And he, you know, gets distracted and Mercury rolls him up, you know. The reason why is because they've made Mercury and Noble into such goofs that I don't think that they should have beat them, especially days before, you know, world title match on pay-per-view.
But they did take it a little bit more seriously last night, both Mercury and Noble. So on that perspective, I think
Noble was a house of fire last night.
Sure.
Are you kidding me?
And so it was okay. And the roll-up happened in such a fluky fashion. It was so quick. It was out of nowhere. The crowd got into this hot angle right near the end of that match.
Here's another thing about it, though. How many times have we seen that roll-up done on Raw over the last 3 or 4 months?
And I agree with you there, and I think that's something worth discussing as a bigger picture. But I think for this angle, I didn't have an issue with him losing. And to me, it also creates this kind of controversy about who is going to win on Sunday night, because very rarely do they have a champion lose on the pay-per-view on the go-home show before pay-per-view, and then also have him lose on Sunday. So actually, when he had that roll-up, I thought, okay, he could actually win on Sunday, and that would be kind of a curveball. I don't know how you play that out, but it's a possibility. I think that leaves it a little – it shows the champion being weak, but in classic WWE booking, it traditionally means the champion is going to win his next match at a pay-per-view.
Right, and you know what? You talk about the – you know, could they do Roman turning heel and cashing it in the suitcase and everything? It seems way too soon for that, since Rollins just did that at WrestleMania.
But they teased it last night too. They had the whole issue where he was talking about how it got cashed in during his match and how he used to hate it, and now he kind of likes it. And I think it would almost suit him in a way. And I think if you're going to get him over as quick as possible and as quick as people want him to be over, upper echelon WWE people, personnel want him to be over, I think it makes sense to use Money in the Bank to do that. And it makes sense to turn him heel in the process, because people who boo him will be like, okay, I don't really know what to do with him now. And people who are cheering him will boo him. He'll still get a strong reaction. And he'll be the champion and he'll be a star, I think, at this point.
Well, then you get to decide exactly how does this play in with Lesnar when he comes back, because he's coming back, what, it like 2 weeks after? Not this coming Monday, but the Monday after?
I thought he was coming back the night after Money in the Bank.
Somewhere around there. He's coming back. It's all
nobody knows but Paul Heyman, so ask your buddy.
Or the people in St. Louis that tweeted out that from the building.
Card subject to change.
Hey, ask R-Truth about that, the video he did last night just online. Did you see the online video that he did? Okay, so they're doing this segment where they're introducing all the different participants of Money in the Bank, right? And R-Truth comes out there. And he's like, yeah, with the ladder and blah, blah, blah. And they go, wait a second, you're not in the match. And he goes, wait a second, I'm in the match. Wait, what are you talking about? No, you're not in the match. And everybody's laughing. He's like, my bad. So he goes in the back, right? They did one of these Raw Fallout online only videos where he goes, I was confused. And he said something like, you know what? It said card subject to change. So what does that mean? He was trying to justify the whole thing by card subject to change that he should be in the match.
Oh, great. It was weird. That was a terrible way to stick him in there and build Money in the Bank in the ladder match, because it felt like for about 5 minutes, nobody was taking the match seriously. This is a very dangerous match. People get hurt very seriously, and it's for a big prize. So I didn't really like that.
Well, the other thing is, too, that here's what I want to know. Okay, so Ziggler and Reigns were in the ring, right? And they were laughing their ass off. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't know that that segment was coming, that R-Truth was going to come out there and do that?
It kind of felt like that.
It did. The way that they were reacting, I was like, man, it almost seemed too genuine, you know? But I don't know. But see, that Money in the Bank segment where they're introducing everybody and I'm going to win, then I'm going to win, and blah, blah, blah. It just, God, it seemed like a train wreck that went on forever. You had Kane even later going in the back talking to Rollins about how he was going to win, you know, the ladder match and get the briefcase and cash it in that night, which of course he should say that. But I guess the bigger question in there is, why is Kane in that match? Because now they got seven people. I thought maybe they'd have eight, and Kane is in the match. I guess from a storyline standpoint, it makes sense, but I think Kane as a character has been a lot better over the last few months. Kane as a wrestler, though, it's not something I want to see in big chunks.
Should Kane be in the match, or should Kofi Kingston be in the match? Who deserves it more?
Kane.
Why?
Because Kofi's part of a tag team.
What is Kane part of? A business suits for men, men's warehouse
propaganda?
The authority
can put him in there. The authority can say, hey, we're going to stack the deck and put in our guys.
Okay. I'm just saying, from a wrestling perspective, does it make any more sense? I don't like
that. When's the last time Kofi won a singles match that says, hey, he deserves to be a Money in the Bank and possibly earn a shot for the world title?
He had that feud with Randy Orton back in 2009.
Did you see the New Day serenading Jackson, Mississippi over the weekend by singing We Are the Champions?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Big E with the deep voice. We are the champions.
Yeah. I love that act, and I think it's grown on me a lot. But I agree. It's weird to have Kofi Kingston in the match. Kane just kind of proclaiming, I'm going to put myself in the match, was awkward. Mm-hmm. It seems like this Money in the Bank really could use about one more guy who is that like a surefire fan favorite to really pull for. It
wouldn't this be the great spot where Sami Zayn would be in?
Yep. I mean, I put
Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
I shed tears right now from you mentioning both of them. And
I'm still shedding tears over the fact that last year when we went to Battleground, and I told you, I said, I'm going to come visit you. We had this planned. I'm going to come visit you. We're going to go to Battleground. And I said, if I come down there to go to Battleground and go to Raw with you, and we don't see CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, I'm going to be pissed. And we did not see CM Punk because he left the company right after we made these plans. We did not see CM Punk. Daniel Bryan was out on injury. We saw neither one of those guys wrestle. Now, we did get to see The Miz in his infamous Intercontinental title win, which was fantastic. But I'm just saying, I'm still mad at you about that. So,
fine. Be mad at me, man. It's not my fault. I'm not booking the territory.
You should. You should.
I didn't tell CM Punk to leave. I didn't injure Daniel Bryan.
Somebody told CM Punk to leave.
Now Daniel Bryan is speaking in hyperboles about what makes him happy. And he's almost talking like even if he doesn't get back in the ring, it's the whole chasing it and training to be in it and everything like that. And trying to do it. If you're trying to do something that makes you happy, then you should be happy. And I'm like, oh, boy. Look out. So,
but I mean, who else could you put in that Money in the Bank ladder match to fill it out? Because the problem is they're kind of, you know, there's a dearth of talent right now in that position.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people immediately say like Finn Balor, but you know, I don't think they're going to call somebody up just for this match. I don't know.
Owens. I mean, I want to tell you something. If you put Owens in that match, it would be a different dynamic.
Nope. But he's already taken. He's already got a match. They're not going to put him in two matches.
I mean, Randy Orton doesn't even matter much right now. They pretty much dropped him after his big.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? So, okay, here's the seven people we have: Neville, Ziggler, Orton, Kingston, Sheamus, Kane, Reigns. Okay. Now, of those seven, rank them in order of likely to win the match.
Okay, R-Truth number one, most likely.
He's not in the match.
He's not scared of ladders anymore, though. It's a perfect fit.
Or spiders.
Well, is he scared of snakes? Is that the one that...
No, spiders.
This whole... It strikes me as being incredibly racist. I hate that whole thing. Okay. I think Roman Reigns is your winner because...
He has the best chance of winning, yes.
Randy Orton just won. So you could say Randy Orton. Make an argument for him. But he just won Money in the Bank 2 years ago? That would make it easier. No. Last year... Money in the Bank was won by Seth Rollins. Yeah, it was 2 years ago when he cashed in on Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so...
But we'll rank them. I want a 1 through 7 here, Chico.
Oh, okay. Let me pull up this list here because...
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of people to keep in my head at one time. Okay. All right, here we go. Most likely to win, Roman Reigns. Second most likely to win, Sheamus. Third most likely to win, Randy Orton.
I agree.
Fourth, Dolph Ziggler.
Ooh, I disagree.
Fifth, Kane. Sixth, Neville. Seventh, Kofi Kingston. But I will say this, and it's sad that Kofi Kingston's at the bottom of that list for me, but I will say I think Kane could be more likely to win if they're serious about him having a feud with Seth Rollins. However, the reason I don't think that will happen, I don't think he'll win Money in the Bank and he'll cash in on Seth Rollins, is because that's the exact angle he used on Rey Mysterio back in 2010. He came down, cashed in, and that set up that whole feud between him and Rey Mysterio where Kane had his last big title run. So I don't think they're going to go that same. He cashed in the same night, the only person to ever do that. I don't think it's likely.
I agree with you when it comes to the picks, but I would have switched around Ziggler and Kane. So I'd have been Kane fourth on that list.
Okay.
But I mean, I really don't think Kane has a chance. I mean, they're going to tease that he's going to win at one point in the match, but I don't think he has a chance. They'll tease all of the guys, but I think it really comes down to, I don't think Orton. I think the wild card in it is Sheamus, but obviously Reigns has to be the overwhelming favorite.
Sure.
And even if he is the overwhelming favorite, the way that they make the twist is he turning heel? Is he cashing in that night? What's going on? So...
I mean, that's almost my problem with this year's Money in the Bank, is it almost feels underwhelming from the possibility of potential. And I know I really do appreciate that they're using the Shield in this prominent fashion. They're main eventing pay-per-views, that they could be winning Money in the Bank again. But what I have an issue with is this Money in the Bank is supposed to feel chaotic and unpredictable. And it's always supposed to be like, who's going to win this match going into it? And I would be willing to bet money that Roman Reigns is going to win it. And I guarantee you, if you look at the betting odds, Roman Reigns is the hands-down favorite.
Oh, he has to be. He absolutely has to be. But we'll find out. Like, an hour before the show if the betting odds change dramatically.
Sure.
Who's going to win? I mean, if you really pay attention to that stuff, you could find out.
All I'm saying is if I'd put down mad money on Ryback winning the Intercontinental title, I would be rich right now because nobody saw it coming, but I called it 3 days in advance.
But so, yeah. I will say this too, though. If you bet on Roman Reigns, you're not going to win that much because he is the overwhelming favorite.
Do what?
You don't. Where you make your money is when you don't bet on the favorites because the odds aren't going to be that good. If he's the overwhelming favorites, he could be like, he could be like 2-5 odds.
I thought this was some kind of weird backwards psychology where you're trying to convince me to bet against Roman Reigns.
Where you make money is you make money on guys that are longer shots to win and they actually winning. That's where you make your money.
I get the basic principles of betting. I thought you were trying to trick me for a second.
No, I have to explain these things to you because obviously you don't understand them.
I thought this was going to be one of those after we get off the air today. So Wiseman, why don't you put down $5 on Kofi Kingston and I'll put down $5 on Roman Reigns, winner takes all. I thought you were trying to do one of those numbers on
No. I'm talking about real gambling and everything. Like, like if you put money down on American Pharoah on Saturday, even if you won, you would have to bet a lot of money to really make some money. Because he was the overwhelming favorite.
Robert Billing in our chat room says that Reigns is a 4-7 favorite right now.
See, four to seven.
I think that's pretty good.
That means you got to bet $7 to win $4. That's exactly the way that you want to do the betting. You'd rather be like 7-1 odds or 10-1 odds where you put down 10 and or you put down 1 and you win 10. So,
and I love Nuggets brought up the fact that if Kofi wins, we could potentially have 3 champs. Wouldn't that be cool?
Sure. Why not?
All in a new day.
What are the odds right now on Kofi Kingston? That's got to be what, like 50 or 100-1?
Oh, putting all my money on him. It's going to happen.
If I put money on him, I'd be clapping his way to the top. I'll tell you that.
It's so weird you can bet on wrestling. I just think some of the things you can bet on in this world are so weird.
I'd never bet on wrestling or, make any money on. I'd never do anything like that. No.
I can legitimately say I'd never make any money on gambling because every time I've ever gambled, especially like when we went to a casino, I lose money.
I'd never bet on wrestling. Have I ever done it? No, of course I haven't.
You're awful. Don't encourage gambling. This is why we can't get sponsors, because I drink and because you encourage gambling.
I didn't encourage it. I'm just saying that I never did it. I have never once bet on wrestling. Okay, back to Raw. You know what? When it came to overall matches on the show outside, you had Owens and Neville at the beginning of the show. And Neville has been amazing, when it comes to what he's done in the ring. From a standpoint, he's had good matches with everybody he's had, he's been in there with. We were afraid about how he could be used in the WWE and the main roster because he's not that great of a talker still and because of his size, but they made him look great. Sure, he hasn't won a lot of matches, but he's looked good and he's gone toe-to-toe with everybody he's been in there with. He damn near beat Cena. He almost beat Owens last night. He's beaten Barrett. He's got a couple other wins. So, I think he's been booked pretty good overall.
Like you could call him a new sensation or something.
He is a new sensation, right?
Can I just say, I'm sorry.
If they brought out INXS singing New Sensation, that'd be even better.
That's where they're heading. I'm going to go on my little rant here because first off, calling somebody the new sensation sounds like he's going to be hawking some gum, the new sensation. Or
you know what they need to add to that? Not only is he a new sensation, he's sweeping the nation.
Right. That's how bad it is. It's terrible.
He's only been wrestling for over a decade around the world.
And it just sounds like some kind of bad promotional materials. Also, he already has a tagline, the man that gravity forgot. So it sounds terrible when you call him the new sensation, the man that gravity forgot.
Hey, everybody, check out this new sensation we got. He's coming your way. Catch him at a city near you. His name is Neville. He's short, but he's power-packed, and he's going to bring all the action.
Wait. You know what that needs, don't you? It's too slow.
Yeah, that's right. You have to have the app open, okay?
I can't remember we can use this. This is just too much fun. Yeah. That was
when you overuse it. That's when it's not fun.
It turns into a...
Yeah, exactly. And that's enough. You're cut off, okay?
You're out of here.
The main event match, it was what it was, okay? Harper and Rowan dismantled Los Matadores. Ziggler against Kane, dud. Orton against Sheamus. Those guys work hard. Crowd doesn't give a rat's ass about them for whatever reason. And they did the same finish they did the previous week. It was just the other guy grabbing a chair and getting DQ'd.
And these guys have fought like a million times in the last 2 months.
Right. I mean, that was rinse, wash, repeat right yep. there. Or wash, rinse, repeat. Let's get it in the right order. And then Titus O'Neil and Darren Young against, Titus O'Neil took on Big E. You know, Big E got the win there pretty quick. Reigns against Kingston. That was fine. Had a good finish. Reigns actually won with the Superman punch, which was different, and that was good. But that was it for actual matches on here. Now, this has been done a couple of times now, and I wonder about this, if this is just on accident or what. Harper and Rowan won using 3D. And now you've got Bubba and Devon going on Twitter talking about, hey, why are they using our move, blah, blah, blah. We'll show you how to really do it. I totally believe that WWE and those guys are using social media to get a buzz going, get people talking about it. It'd be one thing if the Dudleys called them out, but it's another if they're calling them out because those guys are using their finisher. So I think there's a little bit more to this. I think that they're starting a feud on social media, and I think the Dudleys are going to come in for a big match.
Do you think that'll be around SummerSlam?
Yeah, I think we're going to get Harper and Rowan against the Dudleys at SummerSlam.
I can't help but be disappointed by that. Of all the guys I would love to see Harper and Rowan come in and feud with. Not Harper and Rowan, I'm sorry. To see the Dudleys come back in a WWE and feud with them. I'm thinking Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, that could be fun. You have the New Day versus the Dudleys, that could be fun. I just don't think that the Wyatt family is who I really want to see them feud with. It just doesn't seem...
Okay, utilizing WWE talent, whether it's on the main roster or NXT, and guys that are already there, not people that are outside of those groups, which tag team match do you think you would like to see the most? And we'll count the Dudleys, okay? That's the only tag team from outside the group that you would like to see, but what match would you like to see the most?
I'd love to see the Dudleys fight Lucha Dragons.
Really?
Wouldn't that be fun? It would be. I mean, that's what made the TLC matches so great back in the day, was this clash and contrast of styles. And I think this is the perfect spot to do it. Bring the Lucha Dragons in, get them over by having. I mean, the problem is they don't talk a lot, and their personalities are kind of subdued.
Yeah.
Because of the mask. But
I would like to see Kidd and Cesaro take on Big Cass and Enzo.
Okay, so we can't bring up NXT talent.
I told you could.
Yeah, I don't know. I still kind of think I'd stick with the Lucha Dragons. I don't know.
Or maybe Cass and Enzo against the Dudleys. That would be pretty interesting, too.
Who is? Okay, let's say this. Let's change this up a little bit. You have the tag team roster that WWE has today. Who is the tag team of this era? Whatever era this is.
Are you talking about like over the last couple of years?
I'm saying that back in the day, you had the Dudleys, you had the Hardy Boys, and you had Edge and Christian, who were all... It went on to be main event level stars. Right. All of them were world champions.
I've got the answer for you, but it's a team that we haven't seen in a little while, and it's a team that once they split, I don't know how well it's going to work, and that's the Usos.
I was going to say the Ascensions the Usos, sorry.
Yeah, the Ascension. No, the Usos probably, because they're the guys that have been spotlighted the most over the last couple of years, but whenever that time comes that they split them, I don't think they should split them because I think they work much better and are going to be stars together as a tag team. And we're just waiting for which one is it, Jay that had the shoulder injury to come back.
Yeah. That's a good point. And I guess I wasn't thinking about the Usos because they've been gone for so long. And I do love the Usos.
You love the Uso, man. You got, where's your orange shirt?
I never got one. It was my wife.
Why not?
My wife said, what would I wear that to? She said, what would you wear that to? In that same voice. Why would you wear that to? Doesn't watch us, so I'm okay, so we're good.
Sure. I'll make sure that I tell her.
The Usos versus the Dudleys. I could dig that.
That'd sure, why not? There's a lot of good stuff that they could still do. It's just putting the right emphasis on it, and that's up to WWE. And speaking of putting the right emphasis on something, look at the vast difference in the way that WWE utilizes their women. between the main roster and NXT. I mean, just from the standpoint even that in NXT, it's not the Divas division. It's the women's division. It's focused on in-ring work, and we're seeing fantastic workers down there between Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and Charlotte and Bayley. Just those four alone, and then they've got some other women as well. On the main roster, it's Divas. The in-ring work is not as important. They're giving throwaway matches on TV. There's no rhyme or reason to the feuds. We thought Naomi was going to finally end Nikki Bella's reign, which her title reign's coming up on like 200 days now. Mm-hmm. And Naomi brought a fresh character. It was something different. She was working great as a heel. We thought she was going to win a couple of weeks ago, Elimination Chamber, in the triple threat match. Not only did she not win, she's been exiled to City Alpha 5 since then, okay? And we don't know where the heck she's at. And once again, they're doing Nikki Bella against Paige for the umpteenth time. And we don't even know if the Bellas are baby faces or heels or just whatever the hell they are. Because so for the longest time, they're heels. And then when Nikki was going up against Naomi, suddenly they're both baby faces. And then now they're back. They're doing, you know, the twin magic and they're cheating. You know, they did that a couple of weeks ago to win. And then this week, Nikki's once again cutting baby face promo. So I don't know what to make of it.
I think it's really interesting that they keep using the same exact reason for this feud to happen. Literally, with Paige, they brought her in numerous times to feud with the Bellas, and it's always the same. I think WWE needs a change. We need to change things, except she has an accent, and I can't do it. I do a terrible accent. We need a change around here. And that's her whole platform for feuding with the Bellas. And there's never a change. So just give it up. I mean, can you imagine if Hulk Hogan went out and said, I'm fighting for America, brother. And then he never won. He never won the belt. America would suck. We'd all be communists, okay? That's how bad this is. That's how bad the Divas division is right now.
Well, the funny thing is that I think that when they've talked in the past, from WWE, even earlier this year, in the whole Divas moment and give Divas a chance and stuff like that, the people have said, you're going to start seeing some changes. You saw a couple token things there, but it was almost like to their detriment in that they're putting some of the women out there in these longer matches, but it's not the right women because having longer matches does not suit them. It doesn't mean they can't be utilized better, the ones they got in the main roster. But, you know, because of that, then it's almost like, well, see, I gave them a chance. It's not working out. Well, it's the wrong people on your roster. And I know you can't call everybody up at the same time, but I think that when they get to that time and you're going to see some of the women of NXT get called up, things could be a lot better. But you also have to have the different mentality. When it comes to the people that are in charge, they have to have that right mentality of how to do it and what people want to see. I still think that is missing right now because they have not had anything that really grasp onto for a long time when it comes to utilizing the women. The last even somewhat strong storyline that they had dealt with Stephanie McMahon. And that's because Stephanie was in it. But until they bring up some of the other women and they go out there and they have good matches and they win the crowd over, then I don't think that they're still going to put much into the women they have on their roster.
So let me ask you a question. I know we've danced around the whole, if you were in NXT and you could have the option to be down there, get moved up, what would you pick? Blah, 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 blah. And I know we've said, or if you're a diva and you had the option to go back down to NXT, would you do it? And I know that's always been an affirmative yes. My question is this. If you're somebody like Charlotte Flair, who our chat room is convinced they're going to bring up and put the title on her. If you're somebody like Charlotte Flair and you have the option to go up to the main roster and win the Divas title or hang around in NXT in kind of this upper mid-card area with no guarantee of a title run, what would you do?
You want to go to the main roster because it pays a lot more money. And bottom line, that's what you want to do. You want to do the best that you can, but you're on a bigger stage and you want to make more money. So that's where you want to be. But at the same time, it doesn't mean I just want to go there immediately or I want to go there right now. The landscape has to change first, or you have to be told, hey, you are one of the first steps in changing the landscape and how we use women, and we are investing in you. And you actually have to believe in that. But if that landscape is not changed and it is what it is right now and you don't see any change on the horizon, then yes, you don't mind staying in NXT. But if you have that choice, you want to go up to the main roster.
follow-up question. Just because we've been talking about CM Punk so much today. If CM Punk were in WWE today, would he be, and let's say he'd never won the title, do you think CM Punk would be better used on the main roster or in NXT? Or where would he choose to be?
Oh, main roster, because he sells. He puts butts in seats.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Every 18 inches, my friend. That's what you want. Every 18 inches.
What?
You never heard that saying? You want a butt every 18 inches, man.
Okay. I was going to say, this sounds...
That's the width of a seat.
This sounds slightly inappropriate.
That's an old-time promo. Watch Dusty Rhodes talking about it, okay?
Sorry. That's before my time.
My God.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Freaking 1995 is before your time. X-Pac was before your time.
No. I got X-Pac back when he was in the WCW and he had a different name and stuff. Yeah. It's my guy. Me and Pac were tight.
You're lucky Ric Flair had wrestled for so long or else he'd be before your time.
I knew all the old, listen, Fritzy, I knew all the old WCW.
You know Mr. Perfect? He was before your time.
I knew all the old WCW greats, man. I mean, back in the heyday of WCW, back in the mid-90s, yeah.
Mr. Perfect is WWE.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm not talking about the stripped-down version that was in the NWO there for a little while.
Uh-huh. Yep. I remember NWO, too. That's one of those old-timey factions. I remember all those guys.
Old-timey factions. Do you remember a guy by the name of Bret Hart?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was one of those guys that, like, you know, he was real way back in the day, right? It was way back in the day. He fought Shawn Michaels. Yeah, so, you know.
Serenity Now.
Yeah.
Serenity Now.
Back whenever these newer promotions replaced old crappy promotions like NWA and Jim Crockett and all that crap back in the day. Yeah.
Dear God.
Ric Flair, he was he made his name in WWE and WCW. I remember that.
He wanted to talk about the Wednesday Night Wars. So go ahead. Talk about the Wednesday Night Wars.
What?
All of those people that were tuning in last Wednesday night to watch some wrestling.
Really? I brought it up so we could talk about the Ring of Honor rating. But I do want to point out that Ring of Honor cannot get that new lighting track installed soon enough because it's great they're on cable and it's great they're bringing their product to a wider audience, but it needs to look better.
They do. And by the way, they said they're going to spend more money on that. You know, when it comes to their deal with Destination America, I don't know if they're getting paid.
What? Kidding me.
Well, okay. So, you know, they made the deal with NESN, right? Which is the Northeastern Sports Network, which is up in the Boston, New England area. And they pay for that. Or it's a barter deal. Okay. But I think they're paying for that. The deal with Destination America, I don't think they're paying for it. But I think either they're not making any money or it's a barter deal. And a barter deal basically is, so we'll put your program on, but you control, say the inventory for ads is for what, an hour, it's what, like 18 minutes. You get 8 minutes of that and we get 10. We being the network. So they get 10 minutes of that to sell the ads and they keep the money. And then you get the other 8 minutes and you could sell it. If you sell it and you make the money there. So it might be a barter deal. If they're getting paid anything by Destination America, it's extremely, extremely low.
I think that's one of the situations where big of a deal right now. I think just the fact that they would have the exposure, it makes up for some of this.
That's all they care about is they just want to get the exposure. And I don't blame them. Oh, so we can get on here in a second to cost us any more money?
Right.
Okay. You know, of course you want to make a deal with that you can make money off of, but if that helps you get exposure, then, you know, you're hoping that rolls over into more people are going on our website, they're watching our video on demand, they're going to get our pay-per-views or our shows on demand or buy merchandise, all those different things.
And Robert Billing correctly pointed out that it is not a war, that this is not the Wednesday Night Wars.
It's a gore. Oh, wait, that's a band.
Ross did, Jim Ross. I call him Ross because we're close too. I'm close with him and with Xbox. Ross pointed out that he does not consider it the Wednesday Night War. And I think there is something to be said because of these shows are not really competing with one another at the same time.
They're not. If they were at the same time as one another on different networks, then you could call it a Wednesday Night War. But it's a Wednesday Night block.
Okay. But let me bring this up. And I looked this up while we were sitting here chatting about it. TNA had 297,000 viewers.
They had a really, really bad night.
Sure. They moved to Wednesday nights. Terrible for them. Ring of Honor debuted with 163,000 and then 110,000 on the replay. Okay. Total, that is clocking up in the TNA territory on Wednesday night.
Well, you didn't count TNA's replay either.
Well, that's true. Well, neither did this web's Inquisitor. Inquisitor didn't count the replay.
But here's the thing, okay?
Okay.
And I'm not trying to bury TNA, okay? They went on a different night. Let's see what happens this week, okay? But Destination America did advertise TNA's changing nights all throughout the week. They never once promoted Ring of Honor's debut. Even on the previous week's edition of Impact, it was never mentioned by the announced team or by an overlay graphic that Destination America could have thrown on there saying, coming next Wednesday, Ring of Honor from 8 to 9, followed by Impact Wrestling on its new night. None of that. There was no mention, no promotion on that channel of Ring of Honor.
Okay, so I think that tells a story right there. Ring of Honor has come ready to play. This is not even including their deal with Sinclair that still exists in syndication all across America, which is hard to get numbers on just because of the nature of syndication. But these guys are doing pretty good business for their first week on cable.
Doing okay. They're doing okay. It's nothing to brag about, but you know what? It's better than nothing.
Okay, so I looked it up. The Impact Wrestling replay had a replay numbers of 72,000. So their replay was lower than Ring of Honor's replay.
It was also on in the middle of the night.
Also, I just want to say, if you are watching us, you can get this replay anytime. YouTube.com/BetweenTheRopes.
Whoa, how about that? Subscribe to us while you're there.
See what I did there? It's nice, huh? But I think that if you're TNA, you've got to be a little bit worried by this move. And if you are Destination America, you can say, hey, these guys are a lot cheaper, and they're bringing in at least half the same audience. That's pretty good.
Well, let's see what the ratings do over the next couple of weeks. And remember this, too, that we still believe that come the end of September, TNA will have to find a new television home because they will not be on Destination America.
Right.
Unless they're putting up just unreal ratings, I don't think Destination America is changing their mind. And remember, nobody from that channel has rebuffed that report that said, hey, you know what? That's not true. We're not pulling the plug on TNA come the end of our third quarter. Nobody has said that.
But they did threaten legal action, so you better not say anything.
No. Destination America did not threaten legal action.
I meant TNA, but yeah.
TNA did. And TNA never even pointed out what exactly that was. It was for these reports. What reports? Has Dixie Carter flat out come out and said, nope, that's not what happened with Destination America. We'll still be on there following, you know, the end of September. I know that she told a lot of guys, hey, we signed a 2-year agreement, and that's what we're going by. And they will say we can't say anything because of a non-disclosure agreement that we have with Destination America. And that might be the case, and I totally understand that. But if it was that wrong, Destination America, you would think, would at least have the common decency, and I do believe that they would do this, would come out and say, that report is not true.
Right.
We have an agreement with them, and we plan on going forward with this agreement, and, you know, Impact Wrestling will be a part of this channel for, you know, through at least the end of the year and until next year.
I mean, that's the whole thing about it. You would want to get out in front of this bad news, and you would have to refute it if it wasn't true.
I know.
There you go. All right.
Were you impressed by some of the people from Tough Enough?
Down
to the 40, man. They're going to be here in our backyard, my backyard, beginning, what is it, Wednesday through Friday. They're going to be going at it there and getting it down to 13.
I was disappointed that they didn't play my Tough Enough submission video.
Really?
Yeah. I had this great video. All I did was I took one of our old Between the Ropes episodes and just sent it to them. See what they.
Well, you know it's only supposed to be a minute, right?
Well, I just trimmed down a minute, like the midway through.
Okay.
It was a view. It was mostly you. Is that when we did this? Where you pointed your arm?
Well, I don't know why I didn't get an email saying I was in the house then.
I mean, we'll see what they come up with. This is all going to be about who creates the best television for reality TV. Big whoop. I am excited. I do love Tough Enough. I do watch old episodes on the WWE Network. It's a lot of fun.
That means Booker T is not too far from me right now.
Why don't you go hang out with him and tell Booker's you about his Fight 5?
Lita's here today, or she's getting in tomorrow. We got Lita here. Jericho's going to be here. All of them are going to be here.
Why don't you bring them on the show? What are we doing? We'll have an impromptu show. Jericho, Lita, Booker T, whoever you can get, we'll bring them on the show.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, well, because you don't have them here. Let's do it.
Come on over to my place. You know what? We'll just put the wide shot on the camera here, and I'll have some fun.
That's wow, that sounds creepy. Woo. You pick them up in your van, too?
Well, have a podcast. Hey, my van is down by the river, okay? Wait, what?
Is that what they call it now, having a podcast? We're gonna have a podcast.
Having a podcast. What other news and notes did you have? When, if not, we can go into questions.
Been a quiet week in wrestling. I mean, yes, if you missed something, chat room, let me know. Matt Mew writes in, will Jericho have a bottom three segment each week, and will be anywhere near as good as Stone Cold's bottom three segments? He did the best. He did that stare. He could stare a hole in you. God, he was good.
What's your favorite match of all time? I don't know if they're going to do that, because remember, there's going to be more of a live interactive fan vote that's a part of this. So they're changing the whole premise of Tough Enough up to where it's more interactive.
That worries me, because I loved the reality style. I wish they would do more of the Ultimate Fighter style reality, where you tell the stories of these people and them trying to get into the business, not this like game show type stuff. I don't dig that.
They want fans to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I don't like it that when I'm voting for the All-Star game in my favorite sports, that fans have that much of a vote. They can say who's starting, and they go, oh, but it's all about the fans, whatever. So because it's all about the fans and guys that only played like 5 games and have been injured, they get to be in the starting lineup. Or like this year, you know, for the baseball All-Star game in the American League, that the voting stopped right now. 7 of the 9 starters in the American League will be from the Kansas City Royals.
What? What?
I'm not even making that up. The Kansas City Royals have 7 of the 9 starters, because their fans have come out that much in the voting process and vote online and have just voted their guys up to ridiculous numbers to where, and it's all about the fan vote when it comes to the starters. Now, when it comes to the other guys on the team, that comes down to Major League Baseball. And I believe the managers vote on that. And the same thing goes on in the NBA. Like, I mean, I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Should Kobe Bryant be starting in the NBA All-Star game? No. Was he named a starter? You got it. How many times do we see Yao Ming get named as a starting center, whether they deserve it or not? It's because, oh, wait, they opened up the vote worldwide and you could vote online. So, like, I don't know, the billion people in China all voted for Yao Ming.
I mean, when competitions come down to, like reality TV does, what American Idol, Who's Got Talent, all those other things, when they come down to a fan vote and that's who wins, and sports start imitating that, it worries me a little bit, because we're only a few years away from the Super Bowl winner being crowned based off of fan votes. And then the Patriots win every year, despite the fact that Tom Brady is a dirty, dirty cheater.
If it was a fan vote in the NFL, Dallas Cowboys would be doing pretty good.
Patriots would be pretty close up there, too.
They'd be up there. But Patriots would be around. It doesn't come down, when it comes down to, like, the actual games and stuff, that's going to come down to how they play in the field, different things like that. But it's just for reality television. And when it comes to All-Star games and sports, that's almost what that is. It's almost reality TV.
Right.
Those games really don't mean much. The only one that really does mean something, and it's stupid as I go off on a tangent, is the whole, oh, in the baseball, whichever league wins, they get home field advantage in the World Series, which is a crock. Okay? So you're telling me that, okay, the team in the National League won 100 games during the regular season, won during the playoffs to win the National League crown and is going to the World Series. The team in the American League that made it to the World Series, they won 87 games. But the American League won the All-Star game, so even though they had 13 more wins, that doesn't matter. Who gives a crap? You know what? Don't give them home field advantage. No, we'll give it to the team that won the All-Star game, the exhibition. They had the fans vote on the starting lineup.
And that was your Brian Fritz baseball minute.
Yeah.
I just want to say, chat room, we just had this guy named El Bakali Anuar He said that watching Cena cut a promo is better than watching us. He compared us to John Cena, Fritzy. I've never been compared to John Cena in my life.
I should have put my chain on then.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying he just compared us to John Cena. How awesome is that? Don't you feel honored?
What? Give me some other questions here.
Oh, questions. All right. We got a ton of questions. If you are watching us live, pop them into the chat room. I am monitoring it by the second.
By the way, you know that YouTube, when they pick the one static shot that they put on these videos, it's going to be the one with me doing this. That will be the static shot for this video.
God, suicide video, man. That's bad. I want to apologize to Robert as well. He says, basically, he says, anyone from UK and has no idea what they're talking about, your little baseball rant, Fritzy, doesn't get over with our foreign audience. I'm sorry, bud.
Well, you know what? Watch a little baseball. Get some American culture.
Watch as little as possible. That's what he means.
No, I'm watching like the Cubs almost
every night. Watch a little.
Watch hockey little. Last night. I got basketball going on tonight. We got game three of the NBA Finals tonight. I might not go to this wrestling event in Tampa on Thursday because it's going to be game four of the NBA Finals. And I have to make up my mind if I'm going to go do that.
Killing me, Smalls. Question. I'm just rolling right along with this show here. Matt Mew writes in, does Roman Reigns have to buy a ticket every show, and is that why he enters through the crowd like Ambrose had to last
night? Yes, he's buying a ticket. But they left. But you know what? All fans could just jump the barricade. So, you know, he's allowed to do that.
I mean, Matt, I'm really digging Matt's comments today. He also said he told you to take a page from Kevin Owens. You've been in wrestling longer than John Cena. You're better.
I do like that Ambrose got a ticket from a scalper, even though it said comp on it. By the way, that's illegal to sell a comp ticket. And that comp ticket apparently not only allowed him to walk down the ringside, but he could jump the barricade.
Man, I'm telling you what, when WWE does credentials, they do credentials right, man. That's
I know. I got to take advantage of that the next time I get to a show.
We need to try that. You know, that's Durham Michael Thomas B writes in, and here, I'm going to put you on the timer. As soon as I ask this question, you're going to be on the timer. Is there a match other than Owens versus Cena at Money in the Bank that you want to see? I do not see any steak potatoes.
Stop that. I do want to see the main event. I think that the match in Rollins and Ambrose is going to be very, very, very good. I think Rollins is going to win it, but I think that match is going to be really good. Money in the Bank, I'm still intrigued by, just because we don't know if it's a given that Reigns is going to win that match, and it could still be very good. I think it will still be a good match, but I think that the matches that should be blowaway matches are Cena and Owens and the match between Rollins and Ambrose.
I think it's a huge mistake to put the Money in the Bank and this ladder match on the same show. And I know it's because there's a ladder theme here, but it bothers me a little bit that they're basically giving away what should be a great main event in that Money in the Bank match. Ladder matches are this kind of exclusive, this really protected thing that you don't see very often. And Money in the Bank is the same way. And I think having both of these on the same show, is they're going to detract from one another. And that worries me a little bit. I do think that Cena versus Owens is going to be basically your main event of the night. But I do think that main event is going to be pretty good too between Ambrose and Rollins. So I'm excited about it. We'll see what happens. All right. Max Gameplayer wrote in. I love doing this on YouTube, by the way, because we get the best names for people. Like on Facebook, we get their real names. On YouTube, we get names like Max Gameplayer. Like that's not that guy's real name, right? It's you know.
That's not his real name.
His name is Max Gameplayer. I'm sorry, Max.
He's currently starring in AMC's show Halt and Catch Fire.
I'm sorry, Max. I didn't mean to make fun of you. Ratnick keeps writing. Are you watching Halt and Catch Fire? Are we going to do our Cheap Pops minute? I haven't watched any of it yet this season. I just finished Gotham.
I found a new serial killer show that's on Netflix too.
Is it the one with Gillian Anderson?
Yes, it is. The Fall.
Is it good? I wanted to watch it, man.
I had no idea. They're in the second season. The first season's only like 5 episodes. The second one's like 6 or 7. Man, I don't know how I found that show, but I'm about to do the final episode of the first season.
That's on my list. We just started Sons of Anarchy from the beginning.
You haven't even watched Sons of Anarchy.
No, we started from the beginning. That and Friday Night Lights. So we're catching up.
By the way, Sons of Anarchy, don't feel ashamed if you're like many of us, that once you got done watching an episode, you liked the show, but you're wondering, why did I like that? And I feel like I need to take a shower.
I'll keep that in mind as I make my way through. But we're balancing it out with Friday Night Lights, which is a pretty feel-good show. So, God, I'm all... And there's your cheap pups minute. Max Game Player asks us about who will win Money in the Bank. We already answered that. Bruce Wood writes in. He actually hit us up on Facebook. You can message us directly or leave a comment on our page. If you could answer this on your next show, I would love to hear your take on it. Can you imagine if Kevin Owens has a storyline that really plays on his character of being a prize fighter and challenging and winning first the lower tier belts, US and Intercontinental, then going on to interject himself into the world title scene and winning? How over do you think that would be? Basically, he takes on this role of being a prize fighter and he just works his way up the ladder, fighting for all the belts and winning them all.
That's up to WWE if they really want to do that. From a standpoint, he would have to go on a win streak, basically. I'm not saying a Goldberg win streak, but he would have to win. I don't think he could wrestle all the time. And I think he would obviously have to win a huge majority. I'm not saying it. I think it would work, but I don't know if WWE will want to do that. I don't think they would want to do that with anybody right now.
I don't know. I don't know that I like this idea. I think it's a solid idea to a certain extent. I like the idea of Kevin Owens being your next Grand Slam champion. You could do it with somebody like Brock Lesnar, but I almost think it's a little bit wasted on him because we know he's kind of in that twilight of his career at this
point.
You're
not having Lesnar fighting, winning the U.S. or Intercontinental title and all that crap. No,
but can you imagine just if they put all the belts, like let's just say Owens won the Intercontinental belt and he said, I'm going to unify this with the U.S. title, and he wins that belt. And then he says, I have all the championships. What else am I going to do? Fight for the main event belt. I think that would be a hot storyline that they haven't done. And I don't think it does anything to hurt the titles either.
Oh, I don't think so either. It's just whether or not they really want to do that. I don't know if Vince McMahon is keen on ideas like that. Remember,
but that's not what Bruce is asking us. He's asking us, what do you think?
Well, I think it would be great. I think it'll never happen either.
Wow. Right on that parade, Fritzy.
I'm sorry. I'm being honest, man. I don't think Vince is hot on those things. I mean, that's why it took so long to get a King of the Ring tournament come back. Vince McMahon doesn't like tournaments.
What does Vince McMahon like, except other than Tinder? I know we know
a cup of coffee and working out at midnight while jamming us some AC/DC.
All right. There you go. That's his Tinder profile in a nutshell. Francis, number one.
Can we get shots of Rusev on Tinder now looking for women? And while he's watching TV, every time he sees Lana, he can have his leg up, be chugging a Budweiser and just throw it at the screen.
Can we just say, too, that was mostly Lana's fault last night? I mean,
he didn't touch her. Right. She bumped into him and she took a dive.
There you go. Women need to know their place. And it's not in the way.
He didn't push her down. She didn't even run into him. She was trying to go around him and she wasn't paying attention. She walked over, you know, on the side of the ramp.
Yep. It's all her fault. There you go. Francis, number one super fan, writes in. Did the Cena versus Owens match feel like it was heel versus heel? And I think he meant the promo. Did it feel like I told people on Twitter, I said, he is cutting a heel promo right now. That's what John Cena was doing last night.
I don't think so, only because of the fans that he was going against. I think he was just trying to elicit a response, and he was having a hard time because the crowd in New Orleans, for whatever reason, was pretty quiet for most of the night.
I just felt like he was in this mode where he was kind of a little bit darker, and he was being booed. It just felt like Cena was a heel last night through and through. I think you're looking at turning him. I think if you want John Cena to go out in this kind of blaze of glory for the last few years,
they will never turn John Cena.
It's better now than never. I'm telling you,
they will never turn John Cena. I want you to repeat that right now, okay? I'm going to do a Jedi mind trick on you. They will never turn John Cena. Never turn John Cena.
I live by one never mantra, and that is never give up.
You're like glass. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep, because you can't see me. He also asked Francis and all of his super fanness, any thoughts on AJ Styles taking on Lionheart and burying the hatchet with him after his injury? I was hoping you could answer that. I was I was out there for you, Fritzy.
Lionheart. Huh? I'm drawing a blank right now for some reason.
He also asked if you knew anything about the top 40 Tough Enough contestants. You can go with that question if you'd rather.
Yeah, there's 40 of them. And a lot of them have pretty good physiques, and they're all going to be trying out from between Wednesday and Friday. And 27 of them will be leaving, and 13 will be staying.
Lionheart. It's that Jean-Claude Van Damme film from 1991. Of course. Jean-Claude Van Damme versus AJ Styles. I would pay to see that.
Who wouldn't? Especially if Jean-Claude Van Damme is still doing splits between those semis as they go down the road.
Is that a thing? Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I did. It took me a second. A little bit slow on the uptake there. Ratnik wrote in. He's in our chat room today. Fritz, what's your opinion of fans who still wear NWO Wolfpack shirts to WWE shows?
I think they're living in very urban areas, shall we say. I'll tell you this. Going up to like an area like Daytona Beach, we'd always try to point out who's wearing like the oldest kind of like WCW-ish shirt or like really old school shirts. So there'd be plenty of people that have like Wolfpack. Every now and then you get a Latino World Order. My favorite though, if you could really dig and find somebody this, the old school looked like it got sprayed on paint windbreaker of the Ultimate Warrior. If you could find somebody wearing that bad boy, man, that was gold, man. Just gold. I don't know why some people wear, like, there's classic t-shirts obviously can wear, like a Macho Man shirt. This guy right here, or right here. I can do it right.
Here. Wrong way.
This backwards stuff. But, I mean, something like that, or even like a old Hulk Hogan shirt, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I guess, too. But when it comes to, like, Wolfpack and stuff like that, I don't know too much. I don't know about that.
I think
that's dicey. You know who never has had a good t-shirt? That's just as a solo act, has never had a good t-shirt to me, is Ric Flair, believe it or not.
Huh.
Now, the classic Four Horsemen shirt, like the one with black and you had the four of them across your shirt, that one was really cool. But outside of that, Flair has never had a standalone cool shirt. I know WCW had like this. They had the, and they made them for other guys too. They had the black shirt and the, like just the head and the silhouette. It looked like something out of the Haunted Mansion from Disney. Yeah, no good.
Huh. Interesting.
Look it up, man. Ric Flair's never had a good t-shirt. When was the last time you saw somebody wearing a Ric Flair t-shirt?
Well, that's true. But I also, yeah. That's a good point. I think it becomes dicey in that area because if you wear a Macho Man shirt or even a Hulk Hogan shirt, it's mostly socially acceptable nowadays.
Yes.
I think the Attitude Era, first off, had some really weird t-shirts. I mean, if you wore some of the classic Stone Cold shirts, depending on which one you wore, it could be a little bit of a trailer park trash going on.
You mean you didn't have an Al Snow shirt that said, "We want head"?
No, sorry. Did not. I just think it's all about how you wear it and how you accessorize it. Because I have a couple of wrestling shirts. I have an NXT shirt in my wardrobe. So
do you have just a plain NXT shirt?
No, I don't.
See, I got my Samoa Joe shirt now, the new one. I got a Macho Man shirt. I've got a WrestleMania, WrestleMania 31 California shirt.
Yep.
The long sleeve black t-shirt.
Yep.
And I've got a couple of generic, or I've got at least one generic WrestleMania shirt too.
My problem with generic shirts is that it's like, I mean, I have the WrestleMania shirt from this year, which is kind of cool. It looks nice. It fits well. But
that's what I'm talking about because it's kind of generic. It's just got the WrestleMania and then it's got like the play button logo.
But some of those branded shirts after a while, it's like, if I wear a WrestleMania shirt in 2 years, it just looks like we saw that guy who like had that Unforgiven shirt on. Do you remember this?
That's great.
He had an Unforgiven shirt on
like
from
2007. Like, Unforgiven. It's like,
it had the full match show card on the back. Right. Yeah. Like, then you just look like a dweeb.
But so. I'm very particular about shirts I wear from the standpoint of I like the stuff that's a little bit more generic and not as specific. But that WrestleMania shirt, it was a long sleeve black t-shirt, which I liked. And plus, this is a good WrestleMania.
Right.
So I was like, okay, that's fine. But otherwise, like, I just want to say WrestleMania. I wouldn't want it to be specific. Because, you don't want to get caught with WrestleMania 11 or something,
And people buy that crap, too. I mean, at the fan access, people were buying branded WrestleMania shirts like crazy, and you had no idea if the card was going to be worth a crap in the air.
Just imagine if they ever made a cool Ric Flair shirt. I mean, the guy would never have been broke, okay? All the merch money that Flair would have made been huge.
Yeah, that was the problem.
When was the last time they made a cool Shawn Michaels hat? A shirt. Never. I mean, his hat probably sold better than any shirts he ever had out.
That's true. That's the DX though. I mean, he was set up for a lot.
Yeah, that's true. He did get some DX money, man.
A little bit.
Bank right there.
A little bit here. Kyle McVeer writes in, an odd question, but is there a chance that the old episodes from 540, 740, the team, the old shows from 98 to 2010 will be uploaded? Mm. And I brought this up because I'm going to tell you, Kyle, you got to stay tuned because here in about a week, we're going to be launching some pretty cool stuff on the site. Hopefully giving some chance for you guys to give back a little bit and for us to give back to you with some older types content.
Kids, that's called foreshadowing right there.
That there you go. And so stay tuned. We're going to have some pretty cool stuff coming up. But part of the talks are the possibility of re-uploading some of the old shows, maybe giving you some access here and there.
I still got them on cassette somewhere.
Well, you should probably transfer those over if we're going to forward with this plan.
I actually have them on MP3.
Oh.
I love this, though. There was about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even before then, that I did have like our original shows on the radio, like the first 200 or so, I did have on cassette as well. I threw those cassettes away. I don't know if I could have, like, some like super fan would have bought them or something, but I was like, what am I holding on to this for, man? Cassettes. And I dumped them. I threw it in the dumpster.
So we might have some stuff coming up for you and even some bigger ideas with how we could maybe try to talk Vito. I'm not involved in this because people don't care about me. They care about you, Vito and Dickerman. So let's just, you know, let's make no bones about that right there. You, Vito, and Dickerman. All right.
Well, for you, it's, you know, invite Michael over for the night and contribute to Between the Ropes. What?
That's right. There you go.
It's a little bit of a thing we call indecent proposal involving Michael Wiseman.
Is that what we're doing? Is that how we're generating revenue now? Is we're just
basically... I didn't want to tell you that, you know, until we actually launched it, but cat's out of the bag, you know.
Well, I am. I mean, I am on Tinder, and hold on.
It says you're a married man on Tinder.
Mr. Mac Vinny. What is who? I wonder who that could be.
Master Mac Man.
All right. Let's get here. Last question.
Isn't that your favorite when Briscoe would go, Mr. Mac Man?
Mr. Mac Man.
I have a picture of me with Gerald Briscoe, and I'm wearing an XFL jersey.
I need to go make a stir fry, and I want to get off this podcast with you because your mug is starting to look pretty ugly to me, Fritzy. Mm. So let's get to this last
Gerald
question.
Gerald Briscoe, XFL jersey.
Shut up. Okay. Robert Billing writes in, do you think it would be possible for WWE to do a one-time-only TV-14 event on the WWE Network in the old ECW arena?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of different things that they can do. I think when it comes to the network, that like the Springer show and some of the other shows that you're going to see on there are going to be a little bit more TV or, you know, TV 13, TV 14, whatever you want to call it. They're going to be more towards that age group. And I think that they could do something like that. I'm not saying that there's going to be blood because blood's out the door. Okay. But could they do something that's a little bit more, a little bit more violent, or they introduce a little bit of language or something like that? Absolutely, I think they can do that. I think the possibilities are really endless in how they want to utilize the network to get subscribers. If that's something that they feel we can do that as a one-time thing and get a hook, yes. That's why I've thrown out the idea, too, of a one-night-only WWE versus NXT, because I think that would be something that would be pretty intriguing and would bring people to the table.
I like that idea, and I think this is a great way to bring back some of those classic arenas, those classic pay-per-views, and it will be interesting to see if they do it, though, and how quickly they do it, and I think you can do events at like the old ECW arena, but you're not going to have the talent anymore just because they're all aging out. So what do you want?
I'm not saying that they would bring back those guys, though. They could do an event there, but they're not bringing back RVD and Sabu and Tommy Dreamer for those.
That's true.
I think they would just use current talent. Now, would they go that building or would they go back to Manhattan and use that building, which is a little bit bigger, and that's where they did the one-night stand shows at? That might be a little bit better for them.
Okay.
There's a ton of possibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, they were going to run the old ECW arena for an NXT show, and then they said, you know what? This building is too small. Now, the building that they did end up using for the two shows in Philly was between 3,000 and 4,000, okay? The first night they sold out. The second night they did not sell out. So, you know, they want to keep it in smaller buildings, but I don't think they necessarily want to be in, like, 1,200 seat. I think they want to be in 2,000, 3,000 seat buildings.
You keep pausing like you want me to say something. I don't. You mean to say something?
If you want, you can, I guess.
That's great. God, you should have never showed me this. This is literally the worst thing that's happened to our show besides me joining it.
This is the last time you're using that panel.
We gotta liven it up a little bit. You never would give me any music, right? I asked you for months and months and months. I said, hit my music, and you never came through. So it's all I got.
You never gave me any music to play, and I still got to figure out a way to hook it up. I have that one piece of equipment that's still not working yet. So, you know.
I want Michael Jackson's Thriller. That'll be my music.
Thriller?
Yeah, let's do Thriller. Okay.
Good way, good idea trying to monetize a Google Hangout video then by putting copyrighted music on it.
Just call Michael Jackson. What's he doing these days? He's dead. It's been pretty easy to get access to him. Right? I just call him up. It's family.
On that note, those are the comments of one Michael Wiseman.
Wait. Before we go, we got to make sure we pimp out Sunday night for the 12th time in the last 12 days, it feels like. We will be back for a post-game show talking Money in the Bank.
Dang right we are. Money in the Bank. Money, money, money. So immediately following Money in the Bank, you can come back on here to YouTube. Go to youtube.com/betweentheropes or go to betweentheropes.com. We should have the link there. And we'll be tweeting it out as well at Between the Ropes that you can watch another Google Hangout with us immediately following Money in the Bank. So basically right around 11 o'clock Eastern, maybe 11:05 Eastern on Sunday night, we will have the video show with the two of us. We'll invite somebody else. We don't know who that's going to be yet, but I'm sure we'll have a third person, and we will recap all of the happenings for Money in the Bank.
All right. That's all I had. And follow me at The Real Wiseman, at The Real Wiseman, Real Wiseman. Okay.
But everybody watching here, we do appreciate it. Please subscribe to us. Just click on subscribe. You'll find out about all the new videos that we have and check out some of the other videos they had. Please like us. Share us as well when it comes to our videos, and feel free to make comments as well. Go to betweentheropes.com, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher, rate us and review us there as well. And we'll have some more podcasts coming up later in the week. Those are only going to be podcast only. This broadcast right here, obviously on the video, and we'll have it in the podcast as well. Check us out on Twitter, and also go to facebook.com/betweentheropes as well. And you can keep up with all the ways we got going on at the Facebook page too. And you can take part in the discussion while you're there. So thanks everybody for joining us. For Michael Wiseman, I am Brian Fritz. And thanks for joining us here for the Between the Ropes live broadcast.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to betweentheropes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.